Hi everyone, I'm Allie.
And I'm Andy.
And welcome back to Mariana Wanda, your favorite book club and media podcast.
Yeah, we're in 2024.
Yeah, a whole new year.
Yeah, did you do anything for New Year's?
Yeah, my friend Molly and her fiance Mark and Henry came over and we made pierogies and played games. So, a lot of fun.
That sounds fun. Yeah. We did nothing. I kind of forgot about staying up till midnight.
I mean, yeah, you got a kid. Yeah. Who can blame you?
I was at Kroger and checking out, and the guy who was running the register was probably like 10 to 15 years younger than me.
Mm-hmm.
And he was like making small talk. He was having to scan and bag at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
So he was making small talk and he was like, "Oh, what are you doing for New Year's?" And I was like, "Oh, nothing. Just, you know, staying in." And he could not understand why I was not planning to go out for New Year's Eve. And eventually I was like, "Look, when you have a 2-year-old, your options are limited." And he was like, "Oh, yeah, I guess they are." He's like, "I'm still probably 10 years away from having kids, so I didn't even think about that."
That's funny.
But anything else new with you?
No, just supposed to be getting back to work, getting back into the swing of things. There was almost no one at the lab today, which was fun.
I had to go downtown today into the office on my weekly trip down there, and it was packed. I was surprised at how many people were there today. Like, the day after New Year's, I thought everybody would still be on vacation.
Guess not.
Yeah, it was full.
So today, we are talking about Serious Women, our next short story by Helen Ellis.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was good.
I did, too. I liked this one a lot. But I'm also interested in general in, like, law and courtroom, stuff like that. Mm-hmm. Maybe because I worked for a lawyer right out of college for a year. Mm-hmm. So I got my toes wet in the law world.
Yeah.
I liked that this one was set in a courtroom. Also, Adam and I have just started watching the series Suits. Have you seen that?
No.
It's a like lawyer-based show. It has Meghan Markle in it.
Mm-hmm. I'm familiar.
Yeah. We just finished the last episode of season one tonight. So we got about 8 more to go.
Okay. Well, you start. You can dip your toes back in, I guess. Yeah. Well, do you want to read the summary? Or do you want me to?
You wrote it. You go ahead and read it.
Just because I wrote it doesn't mean I have to read it. So in our next story from Ellis, we follow the narrator as she attends the kidnapping and murder trial of a local woman. The narrator's longtime friend, Meredith, is also the prosecutor and a serious woman, as most of the others involved in the trial are. We hear the narrator's thoughts on everything, from the hostile witnesses to goading defense attorneys and the gallery of unobservant reporters, as Ellis guides us through the trial with vivid descriptions and comedic lines.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said, I enjoyed it. And I thought it was set in a courtroom, and it was an interesting perspective because it wasn't... like, we didn't follow from the perspective of someone involved in the trial itself. It's just the friend of the defense or friend of prosecutor.
Mm-hmm. And people kept saying, "Who are you with?" And she never flat out said, "I'm on the prosecutor side."
Yeah.
Yeah. I did like that, because it's not very common, all of the positions of power in this trial were of women. So the judge was a woman. I guess the people on the jury were probably mixed. Was there a jury?
Yeah,
yeah, because it talked about the jury box. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So the main judge was a woman, the prosecutor was a woman, and the defense attorney was a woman,
and the defendant
was a woman. Mm-hmm. And the victim was a woman.
Lots of women. Everybody but like the bailiff
and the defendant's ex-boyfriend.
Oh, yeah. But, well, he's not, like, in a position of power in any sense.
No. Yeah. But I did think it was funny that Ellis referred to the ex-boyfriend as something like a beanbag chair. Like, what does that even mean?
Oh, man. He's just like a sack that sits around all day and does nothing. Nothing good.
Yeah, pretty much.
I just barely even a chair.
Yeah, I just thought that comparison was funny. Did you ever have a beanbag?
Oh, yeah. Did you not?
Yeah, oh no, we did. I had a tie-dye one, and Jamie had one that was like paisley print, I think. We wore those things out.
Oh, I always hated them because I liked them in theory, but in practice, I could never really get comfortable for long periods of time.
Yeah. But yeah, I thought that comparison to a beanbag chair was funny.
Yeah. I mean, I think she's got a lot of funny lines in this. Like, when the medical examiner comes, well, he also a man. When the city medical examiner takes the stand, he is as threatening as a cartoon mouse in a three-piece suit.
So, was that one of your favorite lines?
Yeah, probably.
Yeah. I think you and I both had the same top one of, if you don't have something nice to say, say something not so nice in a nice way.
Yeah, that was funny. Yeah, I also like when she was said, this is some bullshit. And then she also at one point said, hostile.
Oh, yeah.
In the audiobook, which is also very funny.
I think that was part of her Southern lady code etiquette was, if you don't have something nice to say, say something not so nice in a nice way.
Yeah.
The main thing that was different about this story than the two that we reviewed last time was that it seemed like this was based on a true story and that Helen Ellis is the narrator, which I think you got that impression too, right?
Yeah, I mean, it definitely evokes it, right? Because she talks about how the narrator mentions that, like, she, like, writes pieces on other stuff, like funny little pieces that don't really matter, which I think is what Ellis used to write as a newspaper reporter. And, like, yeah, like being a transplant in New York City as a white Southern lady who didn't lose her accent.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it definitely feels like it. And I'm sure that that's what Ellis was going for when she wrote it.
Yeah, I don't know if you did any digging into the actual storyline of the defendant and the victim, but I know you listened to Crime Junkie, and I'm pretty sure this is a real case, and maybe she based her story on this.
I'm sure this has happened more than once. I don't know if there's like a specific one set in the Bronx.
Not in the Bronx. I know that Crime Junkie covered one. I think that was set in the Midwest, maybe like Arkansas or Missouri.
Actually, like that. No, the Womb Raider is a real person, apparently.
Oh.
In 2017.
Okay. Where was it set?
In Bronx. Andy, that's why I'm bringing it up.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, okay. I didn't realize it was to this one specific. Okay. No. I wonder if Helen Ellis actually knew the real prosecutor or if she just was using that story as a baseline.
I don't know. I can't figure out if who the prosecutor was, but...
Yeah. Anyway, I thought it was interesting that she picked a not as like silly storyline to base, even though it had silly points in it, like a very serious event that was going on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree.
I do like that the main theme, it seems like, in this story is showing up for your friends, even when your friends are doing hard things. Because she didn't have to be there in the audience. She didn't have to be there in the audience to support her friend, but she chose to. And she was, I thought it was funny that she really wanted to shout out Yas Queen in the courtroom in favor of her friend because she was so good at what she does. So I liked that that was like a big theme throughout, was like show up for your friends when they're doing hard things. And it reminded me of you going to your friend's defenses.
Oh yeah, you better believe it. I wasn't focused, I guess, as much on the thought that like she was showing up for her friend just because she's a good friend. In my mind, I guess, just because it wasn't emphasized in my mind when I was reading this, it felt more to me like she watched the trial, not, I guess it was for her friend, but in my mind, I was just like, well, I mean, if I had the opportunity to go watch a murder trial every day, of course I would do that.
Oh, yeah, I would too. But not everybody has that interest.
No, and not everybody has that ability. I don't. My best friend is not the prosecutor. Why aren't you the prosecutor, Andy, so I could go watch this?
I don't know. I had a lot of people after I worked for the lawyer tell me I should go to law school. I'm like, I do not have the money or the time or the smarts to do that.
Well, yeah, who wants to be a lawyer?
But one thing I'm not sure about, which I thought it was kind of against the rules, but so every night after court would adjourn for the day, Meredith and Helen would talk on the phone about what happened in court that day, which I thought that was like a major no-no, especially coming from the prosecutor. But is that not against the rules to talk about the trial outside of the courtroom, like while it's still ongoing?
I think it depends. I'm not not a lawyer, but I think it depends on what, like, the judge says. Like, I think you can issue a gag order where no one's allowed to talk about anything. Hmm. And I'm sure in general you're not supposed to, but, like, I don't know how strict they are about that, you know?
Yeah, that stuck out to me is, like, I've always heard that you can't discuss anything outside, but maybe it just depends on, I don't know, case by case.
Yeah, though this one you think would have been a big enough case for the narrator to not have been able to, yeah, talk to her yeah. friend like that.
But for Helen to say, hostile!
Yeah.
And then her to be like, hold on, let me put that on speakerphone for my co-counsel to hear. What yeah. did you say again? And then she repeated it. I was like, wait a minute.
Yeah.
Who are all these people talking to?
Yeah, this is funny.
At one point, they had the jury, the one lady from the jury, she passed out, right?
Mm-hmm. Allegedly.
And, yeah, allegedly. I would love to be on a jury sometime.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think we've talked about that before. I would love to do jury duty.
Yeah, we've already talked about that, but I would too. It'd be a lot of fun.
Most people hate that idea, but I mean, I guess it would suck if, like, you had to go be on the jury for, like, something dumb. But most mm-hmm. of the time, I feel like if you get all the way to trial, you have a jury, it's not something dumb.
Yeah. Or even if it is, it's probably still a good story in some way.
Yeah, I want to do jury duty, but it also probably because I watched the show Jury Duty. Did you ever watch that after I mentioned it?
No, not yet. No.
It's really funny.
Yeah.
I won't spoil it for you, but that's a good show if anybody hasn't seen it.
One of my main thoughts, because the title is Serious Women, like, are you a serious woman? And is it important to be a serious woman to, like, everybody in your own relationships?
Like, I think it depends on the relationship. Like, I feel like when I'm at work, I'm serious because I want to be taken seriously.
Mm-hmm.
I want people to respect me that I know how to do my job and I know what I'm talking about. And I feel like if I'm just always, like, kikiing with people, that they're going to be like, oh, she's not serious about her work. She's not for real.
Mm-hmm. What about, like, with your friends?
No, if it's more of a personal relationship, then no, but professional, yes.
I don't know. I also don't know, like, what her definition of serious woman is, because to me, you could also be, like, I consider you to still be a serious woman. Like, sure, you're a funny woman, but, like, you care about your family and your job, and, like, I know that. You're not, like, some big pranksters running around all the time.
I have drive. Does that consider me a serious woman?
I don't know. I mean, you have things that are important in your life, I guess, that makes you a serious woman.
Yeah, yeah. Which that definition of important could be different for everybody.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
But I did like the way that these serious women evolved in the story, because they started off, like, the judge had salt and pepper hair, I think, at the start. And the defense attorney, like, was very clearly, like, the way she was described is, like, a classic, I guess, like, a cold lawyer as you envision them. Mm-hmm. And then when they all returned to the sentencing, the judge had dyed her hair chestnut and the defense attorney had a tan from a vacation somewhere.
Yeah, but how long has it been since they had the verdict given out from when they do the sentencing? Like, are we talking a couple weeks? Who's got time for a trip to Bermuda in between there?
I think it was like a month.
Okay.
If I'm remembering this story right. So there's definitely time, but also you would think that you'd be preparing for the sentencing as well.
Yeah.
But I don't know.
I think if I was the defendant, I would be a little mad at my attorney if I realized that they went on a trip to Bermuda in between the verdict and the sentencing.
Yeah, I think so. Same. Stylistically, one of the other things that stuck out to me, and maybe I don't think we talked about this in the last ones, but often when Ellis introduces dialogue, she always says, like, person says, so it was like, Meredith says, like, I say. How do you feel about that? Because I usually, whenever I see it, like, so repetitive like that, it makes dialogue almost repetitive and sluggish to me.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if maybe because I'm listening to it instead of reading it, it feels different, but I don't know.
I haven't actually noticed it until you said that. And I think part of it is because, like you said, listening to the audiobook, it's not as, like, concrete for me. Like, when I'm reading out of a book, if it says, person says, person says, person says, then, yeah, I'm like, okay, can we not have any variation here? Like,
yeah.
I think from high school, wasn't there, like, 7 different ways to start a sentence?
Mm-hmm.
Something like that. I'm like, you're going to pick I said the whole time?
Yeah.
But I actually didn't notice it so far in this, which is funny because in Today Will Be Different, I did notice that. I told you that, like, she kept switching between I said and Eleanor said.
That's right.
But I haven't noticed it at all in this one. So I don't know. Maybe just the story was a little more captivating and I wasn't paying as much attention to that.
Maybe.
I'll have to look for it now, though.
Yeah, we'll have to keep an eye on the last one and see if she changes her style.
Yeah.
My last question for you are, do you also think the Southern accents are disarming?
Disarming?
Yeah, that's what she says in the story. She mentions it at one point.
So I think a lot of times somebody with a strong Southern accent might not be taken seriously at first, which makes sense of somebody wanting to be a serious woman, but maybe not being taken seriously. Mm-hmm. But it's at no fault of their own if that's how they were raised and that's what they grew up around.
Yeah. I do think maybe it's influenced by the fact that Ellis and the narrator are set in New York that's affecting it. Because mm-hmm. I feel like around here, it's not disarming to hear somebody talking like that. But I live in, Alabama, so it's...
Yeah.
We have some pretty deep accents.
Yeah, but I guess if somebody here talked with a strong Boston accent, it would stand out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it, I guess, would be a little bit disarming to me.
Yeah. I think, it would throw me off at first, but I wouldn't think of that person as any less, like, intelligent or serious or whatever, mm-hmm. just based on their accent.
Yeah.
But I think a lot of times people who have a Southern accent are sometimes seen as not as serious or not as intelligent, but that's not usually the case.
No. We've got lots of smart people down here.
Yeah. Says the woman in the PhD program.
Are you ready to rate it?
Yeah. I like this one a lot. What should our scale be?
The first thing that popped into my head is uterus is ripped from your body, and I do not like that image. I guess that is my other thing, was that the description of the murder and was very vivid in the story.
Yeah, and like how she dumped the uterus out like a purse.
Yeah.
On the bathroom floor, I was like, oh man. That, I mean, I can see it, but I don't want to see it.
But I don't want to, no.
Yeah.
maybe out of 5 murder trials, how many do you give this?
I'm going to go with 4 murder trials.
Wow. Okay.
I liked this one. But like I said, I like courtroom cases.
Yeah. I mean, I think I'd rate it even higher, maybe like a 4.4 out of 5. So.
Okay. What did you rate the last two?
Oh, man, I don't remember.
I don't either.
We should really start writing these down.
Well, especially when we're doing, like, the 3 short stories together, it's interesting to go from the first, second, and third ones to see which ones if we write them, like, higher each time or... Because I think I liked the last two also. I liked the writing the thank you note one better than How to Be the Best Guest, but I can't remember what I rated them. But I like this one better than those two. So hopefully I gave this one a higher score than those other ones.
I don't know.
But I don't remember. What's the next story from Helen Ellis we're going to do?
Our final story will be Halloween People.
Mm-hmm.
Which I'm excited about. I don't know what it means yet. I'm very excited.
Yeah. I think that one will be good. If it's mm-hmm. like the other ones we've done, I think we'll like it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then the book for the month is Ghosted by Rosie Walsh.
Yes. Have you been reading more of it? How do you feel?
Not yet. I haven't had a chance to read any more of it. We've been kind of battling like a little bit of a cold or sinuses stuff. So we're trying to like go to bed early. We bought a humidifier and we're trying to kick it before it gets worse.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, I woke up today and my throat was really sore. Adam's sinuses have been crazy. So mm-hmm. I haven't had a whole lot of time to keep reading it yet. Have you started it?
No, not yet. It's only the second of the month.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
I had some extra time over Christmas break, so I started reading a little bit and didn't realize that we weren't even in January yet at that point.
Yeah.
Thanks for joining us on this episode of Marianne and Wanda. We would love to hear your feedback and if you have any books or topics for us to review.
You can reach us at Marianne and Wanda Podcast on Instagram or send us an email at marianneandwandapodcast@gmail.com. Talk to you later. Bye.
Bye.